Thank you. We are recording today, so it might be available to others at some point. Unless I'm pulling my shirt off with the cable here. Okay, and we're not in a Lutheran church. The front row is available if people want to sit down. I don't smell all that much, and I don't bite hard. I may nibble. Okay, we're going to talk about sleep and mental health and the intersection between those. Before I get fully going, I want to thank the Department of Community Programs, the Fond du Lac County, for allowing me to use their time. Essentially, they're paying me to be here because I'm on their time today, so thank you for that. I'm also gonna right away say my website address because we might talk about some stuff I might have handouts on, and you can find those on my webpage. I was very creative coming up with a webpage name. It's my name. ESPENKLAUSEN.com. So if they have the flyer with my name on it, there you go. Okay. I hope the irony is not lost on people that we're going to talk about sleep at a coffee shop. Now, if it was sleep at a bank, that would make more sense. They told me I have about 20 to 30 minutes. I think that's because they heard me speak before. They don't want you to fall asleep. So we're trying to keep it brief here. Okay, so who slept before? Okay, we got experts. Difficulty with talking about a topic like this is you all have some background. I can't BS my way through stuff. You know some of this stuff. Hopefully I'll provide some things that are new for you. So, but let's start with some basics, and I might get some audience input here too. But why do we sleep? It feels nice. Okay. So does eating coffee or drinking coffee. Eating coffee, that's pretty heavy, thick coffee. Why do we sleep?
Our body needs it.
Why does your body need it?
It's tired.
Because
we work out. Maybe.
Yeah. The thing is, our body doesn't need it. Our body can get the same thing from binge-watching Netflix. You know, as long as you lay still watching something, your body gets what it needs. It needs to repair, it needs to replenish neurotransmitters, it needs to get blood sugars out, or it needs to get out waste products or whatever. Yeah, our body doesn't need sleep. It just needs rest. But yeah, someone said, our brain needs sleep. That's right. Our brain very much needs sleep. I've been told... That causes a problem for dolphins. Well, how do you sleep when you live in water but you have to breathe? Apparently, dolphins can turn off one side of the brain at a time. Half of the right brain sleeps, left brain is awake, left brain sleeps, right brain is awake. You might be thinking about some friends and family members that fits that description most of the time, but yeah. But we shut down the whole brain so that we can sleep. And we really, really need it. Just through the little things like we hit our head through the day, our brain takes minor damage. It's going to need to heal. Okay, it's there. It needs to shut down for that. That's easy enough. We run out of blood sugars. Okay, our brain doesn't need blood sugar. Our brain needs sugar that's even simpler than blood sugar, that are made out of blood sugar, but it needs to replenish. It needs these glycogens that needs to be replenished. Also, our brain consists of several hundred million electrical wires. Not a metaphor, they're literally electrical wires. They're not made out of metal, but they are electrical wires. And these electrical wires communicate with each other through something called neurotransmitters. We spend them, and they need to be replenished. One of the things we need to do while we sleep is to replenish those neurotransmitters. And much like our body, we do need to get rid of waste products, and our brain just, in general, needs to rejuvenate. Now, here comes a very big one, though. That's very important to keep in mind about how our brain works and what we need for sleep. I'm going to say something that's going to sound weird, but it's going to make sense in a moment. You don't actually learn while awake. While you're awake, you have experiences. While you're awake, you get information. But if you're old enough as me, if you're really young, this is going to sound weird, but if you're my age or older, you will have grown up having written documents, but you didn't save it, and then something happened, and the computer crashed, And where's your document? It's gone. Well, our brain is essentially the same way. Until you've saved that document doesn't actually really exist, or is not going to continue to exist. We get experiences during the day, we get information during the day, but is that next night's sleep where that actually is rewired and it gets put into the brain so that it sticks? This is why there's been a big change in how companies, like banks, do trainings. It used to be all the fad that they send them off for the weekend. Then you didn't have to close the factory or bank or whatever during the week, send them off for a weekend retreat. It used to be very popular. Then they looked at the research and almost no companies do it anymore. Here's why. You go to fantastic seminars, they spend loads of money on weird speakers like me, and they learn lots of stuff. Except they don't learn. Because what do they tend to do that Saturday night? They tend to go party and stay up really late, so they don't get any quality sleep. So most of what they learned that day disappears. What about Sunday? They're tired and hungover, so they don't learn much that day either. No, seriously, it's what the research showed. Weekend trainings are ineffective because people like to socialize and party when they're actually out with their coworkers. Hopefully not doing that at work, right? Right, so it doesn't work because we need that sleep in order to learn. Do you think all-nighters work studying for an exam?
No, not very.
Actually, research shows it does. Yes, it works for that exam. But if you have a cumulative final later that semester, you're going to have to study it all over again because all-nighters work to keep the information alive for that test. But 2 weeks later, it ain't there because you skipped that night. So we're going to learn we need to sleep. Kids or adults in school need more sleep. They drop out of school, they can sleep more. Don't drop out of school. We need the sleep. Now, where did I go? Okay, there we go. While we sleep, our brain will literally rewire. It has to move these neurons. Now, if there's huge changes in your life, your brain has to rewire a lot, which means it's going to need to spend a lot of time sleeping and otherwise scale back in life. It's also known as grief. Someone close to you passes away, or it doesn't have to be a loss. You start a new job, you move to a different town, life is greatly changed, your brain is going to have to physically rewire and will do it while sleeping. Which is why when we're depressed, when we're grieving, when we're bereaving, when there's been big changes in life, we feel like sleeping. Which is good because it needs that sleep in order to rewire. You don't get good sleep, grief lasts longer. You don't get good sleep, you don't adjust. Okay, we're going to talk later about how to get good sleep, and there's a long handout on my webpage in the handout section of good sleep hygiene for getting good sleep. We'll get there. But let's talk about some specific mental health issues that have to do with sleep, and particularly the lack thereof. Right here is the prefrontal cortex. Prefrontal cortex sounds funny, but usually it just really means front, before the front, and brain, or outer brain, is really what it means. Right here, that part of the brain is responsible for impulse control, it's responsible for motivation, it's responsible for giving yourself energy when your energy is low, it's responsible for getting your energy down if it's way too high, like I tend to be way too hyper and it can go on and on and on and on. People sometimes see me skipping in the hallway, time to get energy down. Someone says that's true, someone knows me from work, yes. I've been called Skippy. It's responsible for all of that stuff. Well, it's the first part to get impaired if we don't get enough sleep. You get a bad night's sleep, we get more impulsive, we have a harder time regulating energy up or down. We can get a little bit more moody, but more to the point is we have the same moods as otherwise, we just can't hold it back. So so that snappy comment comes out rather than just saying it to ourselves. So it's the first part to go. Now, what that means is, okay, some of you know this, where in the brain does schizophrenia sit? Right there that we're talking about. So, do you think bad sleep has an effect on schizophrenia? Everything in schizophrenia gets worse with bad sleep. Almost everything in schizophrenia gets at least a little bit better if sleep improves. Does anyone know where ADHD sits? Exactly the same spot. Here's a connection, by the way, between ADHD and schizophrenia. Schizophrenia, unless it's due to brain damage, schizophrenia is usually due to genetics. And schizophrenia, genetically, is there from not just birth, from conception. And it says the prefrontal cortex, there's a wiring issue that's there from the beginning, but it's in a part of the brain that you don't start using before your late teens. Okay, ADHD starts early in life and is there from birth, except it doesn't start having enough consequences before you notice, before later. Almost everyone with ADHD grow out of it in the late teens. I just said late teens twice, didn't I? Schizophrenia starts, ADHD stops. There's a part of our brain we don't start using before late teens that helps compensate for the problems in ADHD. But that's the part of the brain that schizophrenia sits in. See the connection between the two? Yeah. Okay. But it means both are heavily affected by not getting enough sleep. We're in a coffee shop. Okay, what is usually prescribed for ADHD? Stimulants. They're marginally different than caffeine. They're more like industrial-sized caffeine that mostly hits your brain and not your whole body. Which is good. Otherwise, the kid can pay attention to class but run to the bathroom every 5 minutes. if you don't get enough sleep, your motivation is harder. Again, prefrontal cortex is not working as well. Worse sleep because your brain could not replenish its neurotransmitters means you're going to be more depressed when you don't get enough sleep. Any depression gets worse if you don't get enough sleep. There's a funny thing when it comes to depression and to some extent anxiety when it comes to sleep. And you don't hear many people talk about that, but my guess is many of you will have had this at some point in their life. Maybe a point in a life where everything was really difficult. Maybe you don't have a mental health difficulty, but we've all had the dark times in our life where just everything was up in the air and stressed and just was hard to deal with the day. And you stayed up, maybe you graded papers, maybe you've done work, maybe you've been binge-watching Netflix. But eventually, even though you've been very stressful, it gets really, really late, and at some point, suddenly, everything gets peaceful and serene. And at that point, people often don't want to go to bed because for the first time all day, they're feeling really good. And by the way, that can be addictive and become self-perpetuating. Because that serene state comes because the brain is running out of neurotransmitters, it is getting depleted, and that can be very comfortable. But what's gonna happen next day? Now you're sleep deprived, and the next day is gonna be even worse. And now the person feels really bad that all day, and they're really stressed and a lot of anxiety and whatever, until they finally get really, and it gets late into the night, and like, okay, I just need to binge watch, I just need to sit down and be quiet, and they eventually gets late enough where that state sits in again, and now they don't want to go to bed because they finally hit that serene, nice state. But again, they're ruining the next day again. So they need to stop. People don't often talk about that, but many people get stuck in that loop, which is understandable, because they get that peace at the end of the day. But it is destructive for the next day and the anxiety and the stress long term. Okay. When you're sleep deprived, your brain, in general, your brain can only hold so much information at any given time. The consciousness that we have, within which we can operate and think, is really, really tiny. On an average day, an average adult can hold 7 one-digit numbers in her head. That's all. If I give you numbers and ask you to repeat them back to me, more than half of you will probably be gone by the time we hit 7 numbers to repeat back. But that's the span of your consciousness to handle everything. It's not much. But if you're sleep deprived, it gets even smaller. It's harder to read, harder to concentrate. And whenever we live on the brink of that space, because we're handling too much stress, or you're doing tasks like you're trying to do your taxes. For a lot of people, doing the taxes is gonna fill that whole space. Whenever you're in that space, you get highly impulsive and leave everything else to instincts. Research shows pretty clear that when you're operating, filling that hole, we call it the working memory, you will leave diet to what feels tasty in the moment. Someone goes to McDonald's because the only thing available and they need to eat well, they have nothing going on, their full mental faculties are available to them. Should I buy the salad or should I buy the bacon cheese fries? They have bacon cheese fries at McDonald's now. Okay, I know someone was eating it earlier. So I'm not going to ask if it was good because then I'm going to buy some. But if we don't have too much stress, if we're rested and we have that full mental space, we will tend to make the healthy choice when we're trying to stay on a diet or stay good with it. But whenever we're at full mental space, everything like that, we just leave it to instinct. Instinctively, what sounds better? Instinctively, salad or bacon cheese fries? Bacon cheese fries, and now we choose that. Sleep deprivation leads to weight gain because of bad diet choices. It leads to poor mental health also because our nutrition gets worse. Okay. Now, of course, that in turn also, it will also affect relationships because you're grumpier, you know, it's nice to be around, you don't feel like being with people because you're sleep deprived. Yes. Okay. Just in case someone, once in a while when I work on our inpatient unit, I get someone with a heavy bipolar disorder say, "How can they know I have a bipolar disorder?" And if you know it's a heavy one, I'll ask them, ever gone 2 days in a row where you didn't even feel a need to sleep? Okay, that's not normal. Our brain ain't gonna do that. There's only two things that's gonna make the brain go 2 days in a row without feeling the need for sleep. The person is high on some kind of major stimulant, keeps bucketing down monster drinks or whatever, or they have a bipolar disorder. There's just no other explanations. Yeah, okay, there might be the freak medical problem that could cause something with thyroid or whatever. I'm not gonna say there's nothing, but essentially boils down to that. Our brain is not supposed to go a long time. Actually, if someone has a bipolar disorder, if they go 2 nights without sleep, even if they were not manic or hypomanic, guess what will happen? Chances are very good a manic episode is gonna start. Usually rule of thumb, which I use with my clients, if they have bipolar disorder and they had a bad night's sleep, they need to start paying close attention. If they go a second night with bad sleep, they have to take actions now. Because if they get into a third, it's almost guaranteed that either a depressed or a manic episode is starting. They don't have the luxury of keep pushing it off. Okay. Anyone, if they go too long without proper sleep, will start having hallucinations and delusions. I was in the army in Norway. I did not go to officer's academy. My brother and one of my best friends did go to officer's academy. They go through Hell Week. I'm assuming Norwegian Hell Week is similar to Hell Week in America. They don't get much food, but they do get enough food. But they go a long time without sleeping. And almost all of them start hallucinating. Why? The brain has not been able to replenish the neurotransmitters, it's not been able to make adjustments, the rewiring has not been happening, just bad stuff happens. Okay. We talked about too little sleep. Is too much sleep good? No, too much sleep is bad too. If you sleep too much, your body and brain will start going into hibernation mode, and it will make you sleep more. Very often I get clients coming in where depression got started because they'd been laid off for work, and so now they slept 11 hours a day, and they reported that after a few days of that, oh, but I'm still tired, so I've been sleeping even more, and suddenly they're sleeping 13 hours a day, and they keep being tired, like they can't get enough sleep. And they are getting enough sleep, but they enter hibernation mode. The brain is trying to preserve calories. And by the way, highly adaptive. That's how we settled in Wisconsin. First settlers here, when they hit winter, they had to go in hibernation mode. They couldn't survive if they were active as long as we are. In the winter time, they would usually have only a few hours awake or active. You're burning too many calories if they stayed awake. They couldn't do that. And it served mankind well for a long time to have the ability of hibernation mode. And of course, if we're sick, we're supposed to get into hibernation mode. It makes it easier to heal physically and mentally. Okay. Let me also take care of a myth. Or it's not so much a myth as one thing people have gotten used to not to worry about. Snoring is not normal. We're not supposed to snore. Snore means it's a problem. Sometimes it's temporary. Okay, if when the allergy sits in, you snore. Okay, you know what the cause is. But if you snore on a regular basis, it means you're not getting enough oxygen while you sleep, which means you're not getting proper sleep. Way too many people think, oh, well, snoring. Well, everyone snores. Well, a lot of people snore, but it needs to be taken care of. If that means losing weight and dieting and exercise, okay. If you want to get sleep in, you know, to be good, you need that. This is particularly the case for kids. Case in point, my daughter. I don't like using my daughter as a personal example, but it's a fairly safe one. She had nightmares almost every day. She was grumpy. She started having some difficulties focusing. And the doctor looked at her adenoids and tonsils like, is she snoring or does her breathing stop? And we're like, no, absolutely not. And so we start sneaking into her bedroom once in a while. I don't think we told her because she would feel it was creepy. And we would notice that she wasn't directly snoring, but her breathing would stop at times. Okay, we got tonsils and adenoids. I'm not a big fan of removing tonsils and adenoids just to remove them, but she had breathing stoppages, even though they were brief. She did that. She had surgery for it. She recovered from the surgeries. She went from nightmares maybe 4 to 5 times a week to one maybe every 6 months. Way less grumpy. Much easier to get going in the morning. Huh, wow, that was an easy fix. I have a lot of kids I work with in therapy or I don't work in therapy because they come in and they have all kinds of attention issues and behavioral issues and I try to figure out why, and maybe it's ADHD and maybe there's some kind of mood issue going on, maybe they inherited something and it's just all over the place. And then I ask, does he snore? And mom said, well, yeah, but all kids do. No, they don't. And I'm like, great, because so many times they got the sleep issue with snoring taken care of, and sometimes I didn't see them again, because the issues were gone. Because sometimes it's as simple as something interfering with good sleep. Okay. Most people need somewhere between 7 and 9 hours of sleep. And most people know that we need between 7 and 9 hours, but most people apply it incorrectly. Most people think that you personally need somewhere between 7 and 9 hours. That's not true. People in general need between 7 and 9 hours. I need 7 hours. My wife needs 9 hours. 2 hours of freedom, yes! Sorry, did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. Okay, okay, I'll be busted. Right, so I need 7 hours. I can get by on 7 hours. My wife needs 9 hours. is not that you can choose where between 7 and 9. If you need 7, you need 7. If you need 9, you need 9. It's not up to you. It is whatever you need. You play with that, things don't go as well. Let me also say this about sleep, which people get so wrong, and that is, it's more about depth than quantity. Yes, you need the quantity, but it's about getting deep sleep. That's why someone can get drunk and pass out and sleep 16 hours and wake up tired after 16 hours of sleep. It's because it was a really poor quality sleep with no depth. Most sleep medications, by the way, are only meant to get you to fall asleep, not to stay asleep. Why? Because if the sleep medication is the reason you slept through the night, you will have a bad night's sleep because you did not have deep sleep. They're meant to get you to sleep, which means I take my sleep medication, but oh, I want to watch just one more episode of Walking Dead, and go to the doctor, and my sleep medication is not working. I stayed up really late and I still couldn't sleep. Yeah, but it's now 3 hours since you took the medication. It's not meant to work 3 hours later. It's supposed to work like half an hour later, not 3 hours. If you miss the window of falling asleep, you miss the window of falling asleep. By the way, other myth, I keep having people come in and tell me, you know, I'm having sleep issues lately because, you know, I used to go lay down in bed and I would be like out. But now it takes me like 20 minutes to fall asleep. I'm like, wow, you used to have a sleep problem. It's supposed to take 20, 30 minutes to fall asleep. If you fall asleep within 5 minutes, something's wrong with your sleep. It means you're sleep deprived. You're not supposed to conk out like that. 15 to 30 minutes, that's a healthy range. Anything less than that, something's not right. I know, I'm getting a lot of, oh, what, huh, what? Oh, I got that all wrong. Yeah, it's true. Right. It probably means you're not getting enough sleep. But I thought it was a 7-hour person. Well, maybe you're not. Okay. I know I'm probably going to run long, but anyone hiring me in knows I'm running long. Okay, here's 15 sleep hygiene rules. I don't think I'll go over all. This handout is on my webpage. I don't follow all of these unless I've been having sleep issues. If I've been having sleep issues, I follow all of these. I break some of these on a regular basis, but I don't usually have sleep issues. But again, my sleep being bad, I kick into all of these. The thing about sleep hygiene, we call it sleep hygiene, is about keeping sleep time and sleep clean so that you can get good, deep sleep. It is about depth more than quality, I said that. The tricky thing about sleep and why we have to use all of these things to get sleep good is we're trying to tell our brain, actually I'm going to take a step back. Okay, everyone, can you raise an arm? Okay, some of hard for some of you, but we most of us got it up. Good. And put it down again. You could do that, right? Good. Okay. Now, hold your breath for just a moment. Okay, now breathe again. Okay, raising your arm doesn't move unless you choose for it to. You breathe even if you don't choose to, but you can choose to stop. So you have a little less control there. You don't usually control your breathing, but you can take control of your breathing. Here's the problem with sleep. It's in a part of your brain, you can't tell anything. We've all had this experience, I have to fall asleep now. Does that work? My wife keeps getting in this, at some time she'll get in this rhythm. She does this more than me. But okay, she has something important the next day. She needs to get good sleep. She knows she has to get good sleep. I know she's not gonna get good sleep. Because she lays down and she's like, okay, I need to get good sleep and I need to fall asleep, which is a guarantee she can't fall asleep. And the later it gets before she falls asleep, the more anxious she's getting because she's not getting a good night's sleep. And the more anxious she's getting, she can't get a good night's sleep, the less likely it is that she can fall asleep. Because when you're stressed, you can't sleep. The stress hormone cortisol makes you alert so you can't sleep. Unless it's been running so rampant and so long, your body's just so run down, you just conk. Where was I going? Oh yeah, so we're trying to tell a part of our brain we can't actually tell anything, so we have to do it indirectly. The number one thing our brain uses to know whether or not to be asleep is something that's disappearing outside. No, the snow is still there. It's not disappearing anytime soon. The sun is disappearing right now. Light. No light in your bedroom. What can be during the day, yes. But the darker you can get your room, the better. What should you not look at before bed? Not your phone, not the TV, no electronic screens. Electronic screen has light that shines at your eyes. The blue spectrum of the light is the worst. Now my phone, first time in my life I have one of the newest phones, it actually has a feature I can turn off the blue spectrum of light. So it's a little better. Still best not to go on it, but you want to avoid light. Particularly the last hour before bed. What? Not no binge watching until I fall asleep? Again, if you don't have sleep problems, you don't have sleep problems. But if your sleep is having some difficulties, you wake up tired, you need to fix it. But it also means that you want to get sunlight during the day. With weather like this and snow out there, people don't know this, but you get more sunlight for every hour outside in the winter than every hour outside in the summer. As long as the sun is up, of course. Right? You actually get more because of the reflection from the sun. I grew up in Norway. Yes, that's where my accent is from. And we were used to going in the mountains. We had to use heavy sunglasses because otherwise we would burn our retinas because the sun would be that strong bouncing off the snow. The second biggest thing our brain uses to know whether to sleep or not is simply when you slept last time. If you went to bed 9 o'clock the last three nights, it's going to expect to go to bed at 9 o'clock tonight. And it will wake up when you expect to wake up, when it usually wakes up. It's the one of the big things our brain uses. You can't keep bouncing around. Sometimes young people can bounce around a little bit. But the older we get, the less we can bounce around with when we go to bed. Also, our brain goes through several sleep cycles as we go through the night. If you wake up while in deep sleep, you're going to have a groggy morning, and your brain is going to be more irritable and not function as well. If you wake up when the brain naturally was getting at an upswing and close to awake, you'll have a great start to the day, and pretty much the whole day, you're going to be brighter. When you go to bed at a predictable time and you get up at a predictable time, your brain will actually by itself learn to wake up at the right time, so you wake up at that point. For a while in my life, I always woke up 1 to 5 minutes before my alarm clock went off, which meant I'd never wake up. But my brain had gotten adjusted, which meant it was always get going, get stuff due, brain bright from the beginning. Schedule, very important. Next is environmental cues. Our brain takes the cues from what's around us and what it feels next to it. Which means your bed is only for one thing. Sleep. All sleep experts will say it's for two things. It actually would be best if it's just for sleep, but it's just a convenient place for the second place. And if there's kids in the audience, just don't pay attention. I'm hoping it just went over you. Why? Because anything else confuses for the brain of whether it should be awake or asleep. And yes, this just explained if someone fell asleep during that second thing. If one thing that wakes the brain up that really tells the brain that you're supposed to be awake is eating. So if you eat in bed, you're teaching your brain to be awake in bed. If you watch TV in bed, you're training your brain to be awake in bed. If you play video games while sitting in your bed, you're training your brain to be awake in bed. You want to train your brain to know that bed means sleep. For some people who really takes this to the extreme, but sometimes they have to, has a chair next to their bed so they can read and then kind of roll over into bed when it's time to go to sleep. Okay. Next, activity. Don't exercise 10 minutes before bed. Don't bustle around the house to run around to get 50 things done. No, but I need to get to bed on time, so I'm going to run around and get all of these things done. Yeah, you just told your bed that it's time to get active. You want to build a curve so that you're simmering down before bed. Also, if you go to bed and your body hasn't done anything all day, you're going to be laying there, and your brain might be really fried and tired from everything, but your body's laying there like, you know what I'm talking about, right? It's like you so want to sleep, but it's like your body wants to run a marathon. If you don't get physically active during the day, you're going to be paying for it that night. The reverse also goes. If you've been doing a lot of physically demanding things and your body just wants to just conk, but everything you did that was brain-numbingly boring, you didn't use your brain at all, now you'll be laying there dead tired, but you'll be like, bing, I can't sleep. We need mental exercise too. So physical exercise, you should have it every day, just not the last bit before bed. You need it earlier in the day. We need mental exercise. We can usually do that before bed, just nothing stressful. If the crossword gets you angry, don't do the crossword. But otherwise, crosswords are safe. Don't read a book about childhood abuse if you had your own childhood abuse. It might be mentally stimulating, but it's not suitable for sleep. Read something or do mind puzzles or something in something that is not, that is mind-numbing. Balancing the checkbook or doing your budget. Unless you're really, really well off and earning way more than you spend, don't do it before bed. Again, it brings up stress. And stress is incompatible with sleep. Just physically, they don't get along. Just make quick note on substances. I know I'm probably going all over, but you're not asleep yet, so it can't be. Okay, caffeine. We know that, right? So our brain uses melatonin. You can buy melatonin. You can take melatonin. But our brain uses melatonin itself. It's a chemical that it uses, and when the brain detects the melatonin, it's time to fall asleep. The receptors that melatonin goes into is the same receptors caffeine goes into. And because those receptors have already been occupied by caffeine, the brain can release as much melatonin as it wants to. The brain is not going to detect that it's supposed to go to sleep. Caffeine is also important to keep in mind for the importance of depth. Now, I used to, I'm still stupid, but I was particularly stupid before, because I was observing that between 10 and 11 p.m., I can drink a 2-liter soda bottle of caffeinated soda, and I realized that at 11 o'clock, I can fall asleep. No problem. It took me a long time to realize that even though I got a full night's sleep, I would wake up tired. Because just because something doesn't stop you from falling asleep does not mean it didn't ruin your sleep, because it keeps you in a shallow sleep. So I can go asleep no matter how much caffeine I have late in the day. But I'm keep backing off how late I have caffeine because it still ruins the night of sleep because of the depth. Alcohol, same thing. Alcohol can help you fall asleep. But if your sleep is induced by alcohol and it stays induced by alcohol, you're again going to have a shallow sleep. It's not going to be productive. It's actually going to interfere with it. Okay, I've gone way over time of probably what I should. Any quick questions before we wrap up? Okay, there's no questions? Okay, you are asleep. Good. Question?
Making up sleep.
Making up sleep.
Have a bad night's sleep the night before, do you have to make up those hours at some point?
It doesn't work. Most people actually have that experience. It doesn't work to make up sleep. You kind of have to if you lost too many nights of sleep. But it's not like it works that I slept 2 hours less last night, so I'm going to sleep 2 hours more this night. You may need to do so, but you will actually still be behind. You get poor sleep, you have to make up more than those hours. And it's better than going to bed 2 hours earlier the next night. It's going to be better to go to 1 hour earlier several nights. And it's going to be more than two to make up for two. Because again, the depth is not the same when it wasn't a full night. And according to what's a good schedule for you. But good question. Which also brings up this. Big principle in sleep issues. No napping. Unless you absolutely have to. Napping does not provide enough depth to actually heal your brain. But it does provide enough interference to ruin the next night's sleep. If you're going to nap, it should be less than 5 minutes. When I nap and take a power nap, I will do this. The refreshing part of a nap is not actually sleeping. The refreshing part of a nap is actually falling asleep. This is a power nap. I'll probably mess up the microphones. Okay, that was it. I didn't actually fall asleep. I've had too much caffeine. Okay, question back there.
Why do I yawn so much in the daytime?
Either you're not getting good sleep, or more likely, you're a shallow breather.
I have a CPAP machine.
That fits. But also look into if you're breathing shallowly during the day. So, human body, in order to get energy, it burns sugar and or fat. It burns calories by combining food and oxygen from the air. That leaves a byproduct called CO2, which, if we breathe shallowly, is that even a word, shallowly? If we have a shallow breathing, it doesn't leave our lungs and it keeps sticking around. When we yawn, we dump massive amounts of CO2 out of our body and get rid of it. And often when we get up in the morning, some people will yawn because they're getting rid of the CO2. Sometimes we yawn in the evening because, like here, we're a bunch of people in a small space and we're actually getting way too much CO2, and so we need to dump it out. And because you brought up yawning, guess what I feel like doing? Thank you. I'm resisting because otherwise everyone is going to start dumping CO2 on me. Yes.
As you get older, like in your 50s or 60s,
yes.
Do you need more sleep or do you?
You need less sleep. You're right. Most people, not all, but most people as they get older start needing less sleep.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yes, there's research suggesting that the older you get, the less sleep you need. That said, the older you get, the harder it is your brain to do all of that rewiring and anything and everything. Sometimes people need the sleep but don't get it. Or maybe part of it is the brain can't make all the rewiring as easily anyway, so it doesn't need as much sleep because it's not going to do it anyway. Not quite sure of the reason, but yes, very often less sleep when they get older. I can't keep up with my parents when I visit them. Like, I stay up with them talking. They're still going. I mean, they're really, really, you know, they're like 80 now, and they keep going late, so I'm going to stay up. Yeah, I'm young, so I'm going to stay up with them, right? And then the next morning at 5 a.m., they're up, right? For most people, but not all. A lot of people develop health problems or lung issues or whatever. That means they need more sleep.
Right.
But a general trend is less sleep.
Because I'm on a CPAP.
Okay,
so
sure.
I'm wondering, will I need, you think I'll need?
Many people on a CPAP needs more. I mean, something about the breathing is not correct anyway. So right. Sometimes they need more hours.
So I'll always need more sleep?
Don't know medically specifically for you. I'm sorry. It's going to be an individual case in that case. Yes. Question.
Yes, for dancers, because normally my dance is towards the evening.
Okay, yes.
I get so jarred up, and when I get home, I'm so wired and jarred that I can't sleep. It takes me 3-4 hours to calm down before I go to bed.
Yes, and now you're really tired the next day.
Right.
It gets really hard for people who go to conferences where or competitions where they dance several nights in a row. Because now they can't wind up that night, and then the next day, many people in that situation, particularly getting professional or close to it, have to develop rituals. And that is things they do every night, where it might be a 1 hour kind of things where they do certain things in order. That is always their wind down routine, and that makes it easier for the body to wind down in a situation like that, particularly if it's a portable one. Like, if that routine requires being home, that doesn't help you if you're dancing in Milwaukee.
Okay.
But developing a routine that's at least an hour long in a situation that helps many people. Some people involved in different sports do change their day rhythm around because they know they have issues like that, where they just end up, their bedtime is 2 a.m. because they often go to competitions, and that's what they have to do in general. I'm not saying that fits for you, but yes,
yeah, like
I see it.
When I get home
right away,
which I know I should not do.
Right. Okay, great. We probably need to wrap up, but one more question if there is one. Yes.
Do you see, Dr. Fossen, sometimes people, after they get to that serene state, they almost enter like a hyperactivity or extreme agitation?
Some will. I don't see it a lot, but some will. My guess is that's because they're running so low on neurotransmitters and all of that stuff. It may also be related to how we know most relaxation exercises, you have about 10% of people for whom it backfires because they get uncomfortable when they get calm. Usually it means they've had life experiences that when things get calm is when bad things happen. And I certainly would expect them in that situation to have difficulties. They might also be a little bit more likely to fight sleep because they're uncomfortable with that calm state. Okay, we need to wrap up. Thanks for being a good group. Thanks for not falling asleep on me. Thank you.
I got one last question. My daughter uses she covers her eyes and she's got earplugs.
Yes.
Just to get out.
Good.
That's good?
That's good. Okay. The less light, the less stimulation,
okay,
the better.